up, you're next on our agenda.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't care.
Hello?
Man, these things are low.
This is Carrie Long.
I think it will adjust maybe if you can figure out how.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Which one is speaker? This one?
Good morning. Who?
Still there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay. Kelly, this is David Burnett, chairman. We are just now getting to Steve on our agenda, and we're getting ready to open up that discussion. So welcome aboard.
Perfect. Thanks, Dr. Burnett.
Okay. Okay, Steve, we'd like to want to meet you,
yep,
talk with you, get an update on how things were going and how the program's running. And
all right. First thing, I've introduced, I don't know if everybody has met everybody else in our office. We have Megan Smith. Has everybody met Megan?
Nope.
No.
She. Any of you that would like to come up, please do.
I've met her a couple different places.
Well, that's how she rolls. Yep.
How was your rodeo?
It was fun.
It was. Okay.
Yep. So Megan's been, what, 3 or 4 months? Yep. So we're just, we're just starting basically all over. I don't know, most of you probably know Wendy. Wendy?
Okay.
How are you?
I'm Wendy.
So maybe Wendy, you can quickly tell them your role and how you are a part of the office.
Sure. So I think most of you know that I formerly was the rangeland extension educator based here in Sublette County, covering the west area. And then several years ago, I switched positions, and I'm now the coordinator for the USDA Northern Plains Climate Hub, as well as an extension employee as the state specialist focused on weather, climate, and agriculture. So in my position, I'm very fortunate because of the commissioners, all of you have agreed to let me rent space in the extension office here. But I cover all of Wyoming plus 5 other states, coordinating efforts with USDA agencies, NOAA, and the other extension programs in the other states that I cover. So I'm in and out of the office quite a bit.
Okay. So great. And Megan, you want to kind of tell them your role and what you're up to?
I just do whatever's asked of me, and we're working a 4-H camp today, so just hauled a trailer up to White Pine and getting prepared for camp.
Okay, so as far as quickly, I'll give you kind of, as you know, probably I started in November, and we had about, Tiffany was there a month, so then we went until, when did you start, January? Mm-hmm. Middle of January. So we just kind of been trying to get our traction with transition mainly, trying to get to know as many people as possible within our program especially, but also outside, because one of the things that make our program the most effective is our volunteers that actually are on the ground doing the work. So one of the things I'm trying to do, and we're going to try to do, is and if you notice, even in the budget, we're trying to shift some resources more towards the leaders. We're going to try to get we're going to do a couple different things. We're going to start a junior livestock committee. It's been that way a little in the past, and then it became part of the 4-H council. I think we're going to move that off. It's such a large part of what we do. It has a lot of things. So for example, last time we went to 4-H council, 80% of the time we talked about that, and you know, some of the leaders, that's not what they're involved in, so I don't want to take all their time. So we'll, and we have a new ag teacher here in Pinedale that we're going to try to get involved in that as well. He's going to be a great resource to help overall as we kind of work together on some things. So that's one thing that we're trying to do. The next, so I don't know if you know the dynamics, but I'm trying to kind of look at the dynamics of what our program is right now and then kind of figure it out. So I would say right now the vast majority, I'm going to say 75 or 80% of our youth are involved in one of two projects, either a livestock project or shooting sports. There are other projects that we're in the future we're going to try to maybe expand that part, but right now where we're so new, we're basically trying to figure out those two things right now are our biggest things, and as we get those under control, we're going to add as many things as we can in the future. Not to say we don't have other things, but during the transition, we had a lot. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say 20-25% of leaders kind of retired last year, so it's left some holes in some of these other areas, and so it's going to take us a little time to get some of that filled back up. But for now, those are our two main emphases. I mean, I don't know, you could say, is that true, Megan? That's kind of what, they take a lot of time, those two projects. And so our enrollment is good. I expect it to be down a little bit. We're down, I think, about 10% maybe from last year or so. I kind of expected that to happen just through the transition. So I think our goal will be in the future to try to add, you know, we're going to try to make this a base and try to add, if we can, another 5 or 10% a year till we get, you know, up around, I think last year Robin had around, oh, I want to say 290 youth involved. We're at around 250 right now. We could add a few more by the end. We're getting kind of to the point where it's getting harder to add new kids at this point. We had a few, but most of our work is kind of getting behind us. So leader-wise, we have about 60 leaders right now. Like to maybe eke that up a little bit every year so we can get maybe, I think Robin had around 80. I think that would be a good number for us to shoot for as well, up around 80 at least. And a lot of those leaders will be filling in these other projects. We're not, in, as far as our main projects, we have a good core of leaders in our livestock and our shooting sports projects right now. They're pretty well doing a pretty good job. As we get on the same page with them, we've learned a lot this year already about some things we'd probably do different, but they're a really good, committed group that I see a lot of potential in those areas. Our horse thing is kind of, it's coming. I think it's something, when I first started my career, we had a large horse program in my other county. Horse projects are on the decline nationwide. And it's been, it looks like that's kind of what's been here, but we have around 30 or 40 kids probably still in horse, so, which is probably a decent number. We probably need a little more resource or some more leader help in that area probably as we move forward. We have a couple of key leaders in that are helping, but, you know, we could probably use a little bit more. We have one really strong club in Pinedale and one in Big Piney. That's basically the bottom line in the horse program. So we basically have two leaders carrying most of it. Maybe we can expand that a little bit. We'll have to look at that and see after I go through a cycle of this. Just trying to figure out. They wanted to do some cattle stuff. It's tough to find cattle this time of year, I'm finding. That wasn't as big a problem for me in my last area, but most cattle are turned out this time of year, as you know, so that's been a little bit of a problem. I don't know, maybe any questions you want to ask of us? I mean, as far as I've talked to Carrie about this a couple of times about our vehicle policy, which I know how Robin ran it in the past. And when I talked to Carrie, she was not sure that was, I don't know how to really, I don't know, Carrie. That probably wasn't, at least in her vision, the county policy. So we need to kind of figure out how that's going to be so we can work as we add some things in the future. Right now, we're adding another vehicle to our fleet, which Jonah Energy is donating, and their vision is for that to help 4-H kids and mainly be for their benefit. So it's not necessarily a vehicle that I drive around in the county, if that makes sense. They want it to be to help kids get to activities and whatnot. So in order to do that, either Megan, I, or a leader would like to have access for all three of those types to drive it. And that's been a little bit of a gray area, I think. So,
Mr. Chairman, well, we need to clarify this while we're in that process of talking about the vehicle. So if my memory serves me right, the Suburban was also donated by Encana back at the time. And we had a lot of confusion over over where the university employees that were driving the vehicle, whose covers the insurance. And Tracy was there during that discussion, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Suburban belongs now to the university. Is that correct?
No, I just checked, Joe. We do
it's county.
Own the Suburban, and they have a livestock trailer that the county owns.
So what kind of agreement do we have with the university to cover that situation?
I looked, but I didn't have enough time but I know there is an agreement between the county and the university on that vehicle.
We addressed that quite a few years ago. And so probably this next vehicle coming in will need something similar.
Correct.
To address that. So I guess for now, just keep in mind that that's something we need to work out.
And until I actually get possession, which could be any day, supposed to have been already, but when that actually happens, before we actually drive it, well, we're going to have to get a title or license. Somebody's going to have to take control of it. So at that point, we're going to have to make a decision of where ownership goes with that and how the policy goes, how we're going to implement that policy, you know.
Well, I think the agreement of address things such as liability where the university could provide that.
So, Kelly, can you put some input on the liability portion of this?
I can take a shot at it, Steve and Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, but so I think typically if the university owns the vehicle, then the coverage for our employees and volunteers in the 4-H program are covered in the vehicle, and county employees that drive the vehicle also. I don't know if our liability coverage extends to our employees if they're operating a county-owned vehicle. I don't think that's the case, but I'm not very certain about that. I think if that happens, then we would rely on county coverage for our employees if they're in a county vehicle.
So I think that's an important piece that we figure out before we make this decision, probably.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I've talked a little bit about Jonathan about it, but I know he's not maybe the official, Kelly, but he felt like as a 4-H leader, that the university liability would cover them as long as they were in their official role. But we probably should check with risk management on that before we actually make this decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that our leaders, so all 4-H volunteers and university employees would be covered if it was a university vehicle, if it was titled to the university. I'm not sure if that coverage extends into a county vehicle or not. That's my question.
So what that means to me, and you guys can form your opinion, so if that's the case, then if it was put in the county, then the county liability policy would have to kick in, which I think that's where the...
policy only covers county
and
employees.
And that's what you guys
and that,
told me,
that
right?
That is the issue.
Yeah. So yeah. That's why I don't really want to proceed particularly to the county route. If that's the case, and I don't know how, and maybe Kelly, you can put some input onto this, but I mean, officially I'm a university employee, but would I also not be underneath the county employee umbrella to drive it? Or how is that one? That one seems like it's a little different situation than the leaders, but I don't know.
Yeah, so I think it's something that we just have to clarify, and we may have to address it in our 5-year MOU. I know our MOU with Fremont County provides that coverage. So in Fremont County, they have county-owned vehicles that our extension educators use. So I don't know what the specific verbiage is in the MOUs, but it's just something we'd have to work out and spell out in that MOU. I'm not sure how it works in other counties, to tell you the truth.
Does Sublette County have other departments that have volunteers that would drive vehicles?
No,
I don't believe so.
I was thinking fire department and search and rescue. Mm-hmm.
That's all volunteers.
So how does that work? Do you know?
I don't think
they
know.
They get paid, their employees.
So they're paid. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
When they're driving,
they're paid.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, okay, and I've been 30 years ago or 25 years ago when I started, these issues weren't nearly as important. But the last 10 years of my career, my perception is these issues need, I'm not willing to put a volunteer or myself or whoever out there without firm decisions.
Absolutely.
I'm not willing to do that right now. So that's why I'm sitting here a little bit until we figure this out. We'll just have to.
We need to follow up with Tracy and with Carrie and with Kelly and get this figured out.
Yeah.
So
I would really appreciate
solve
it.
Right now.
No.
We don't have to solve it today. We do need to figure it out because right. If it's not going to work in the county, then we'll put Kelly to work and see if there's a university option to put the vehicle, you know. I mean, I talked to Robin. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, there's been leaders driving these cars all the time, but it's like, but I.
It may be covered in an MOU.
It may be, and I have. We can go look up the MOU. I think I kind of went through it. I don't know that anything spelled it out in detail, so we can look at the MOU as part of this. I think that would probably be a good idea.
We'll have to.
Yeah, it's probably worth visiting with Jonah a little bit, or the donor also. There's obvious tax advantages of donating it to the university, and I think in some cases that's been their preference. We've done that where the vehicle is titled in the university. We can easily specify through an agreement that it's obviously only for use in Sublette County, only for use by the 4-H Youth Development Program if that's what you want. But that may be the cleanest, is to title it to the university, and then our coverage provides coverage for our employees, even the county paid employee, if they're working in the 4-H program. So that might be cleaner if nobody has any heartburn with that. I know the vehicles up there originally, the Encana donated Suburban was that way, but I think Robin just got kind of sick of dealing with the university on the fleet services and things on getting work done on it, so then she transferred it somehow to the county. That's the way I recall it, But we're okay either way, but it may be clean to have the donation go to the university. I don't know. I don't have a preference either way.
Well, it seemed like to me if there's, I mean, county policy, I mean, I don't think you're, I mean, I could be wrong, but, I mean, if it's, I think you're probably, I'm just guessing, you're going to be stretching pretty far to justify
this. Well, it's something we'll just have to look into.
Yeah, so I'd appreciate if you'd check that out.
And we will.
If we can't go this way, then we're going to probably look to that direction.
So, yeah. Mr. Chairman, back to the programming. What about the 4-H robotics program that used to be really popular?
4-H robotics, that's a really good question. And I don't know everything about it. I've tried to find out what I could. And I don't know, Megan was there in that discussion. I've talked to about this to probably half a dozen people. Obviously, and I don't have total knowledge because I wasn't here, but it was a fairly high profile, fairly active program in the past. Before I got here, it basically, I don't know how to describe it, but I don't know. It ended. Some the people that were doing it got out. I guess that's how I'm going to say it. I mean, over, you know, I've talked to Robin about it and a number of people, and I'm not really privy to all the information that happened, but something happened and it basically, so until we can, and we've been kind of working on finding somebody, we're going to have to find somebody again. That's one of those, that's probably would be similar to our third priority, probably right after these other two, as far as numbers in the past. We've got to find somebody to take it on. And that's where we're at. We've tried to find a few people and asked around a little bit, but so that's probably going to be a top priority as we get into this fall, is try to get, that's a program that goes more year round.
Right.
In nature.
Assuming there's still demand for it. I mean,
there's probably, well, I think there is demand for it. I don't think that is the issue. Okay. Demand for the program is not what we would have kids in it right now if we could find some leadership for the program. I mean, how many, I don't know, but there's demand enough to justify trying to figure it out. I mean, the other issue is, and there's a couple of dynamics going on here. One thing, we have a lot of resources in that thing. I don't know if you guys have been to the office and downstairs, but I don't know. There's a lot of stuff down there. I couldn't even venture to put a dollar value on it. I'm going to guess over $10,000 easily that's been somewhere invested in it. So to me, it's kind of a waste of resource in a way not to try to do something. So the expectations of how it was, there was a lot of factors that went on in that. But so there's a lot of resources there. And when I talked to Robin, she was dumping just in variable expenses, maybe to the tune of $3,000 to $5,000 a year into it, not necessarily from county money, but from other grants and things that she had access to. So to do it at a high level, that's one thing. It's going to take a lot of money, obviously, but we're going to have to find a key leader of some type that's willing to take leadership of it, because I don't have the time. Two, I have a little expertise, but probably not enough to do it justice. But that's a legitimate, I don't know, it's a legitimate problem, I guess is what I would call it.
Well, I think we probably have some more questions. I don't know, Commissioner Baker, you have?
Well, I was just making a comment on the robotics thing. Probably, and I'm not qualified to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
That's the way I like it.
I've probably got one of the most, what's the term? I'm trying to make myself sound really sharp. Help me out here, Don. One of my neighbors is probably one of the foremost robotics people in Sublette County. And she took on this project. And the reason I know it is because I'm just like a quarter mile from her. And she had these kids coming in there and doing some of the darndest things with this stuff you can imagine. And in fact, took them, I went, I think, down Texas once, the world thing or whatever. And then somewhere along the line, after she got this program started, for whatever reason, Forge decided, we should take this all over. And things kind of just slowly went away.
Yeah.
So I know there are people out there, my neighbor being one of them, whether you can talk her back into it or not, I don't know. But there are people out there that really can make this program go. And, you know, if you put up a flag that says, come ye, maybe somebody will come out of there.
Well, I think that's about where we're at.
And put the program together, because it is an it's just amazing what they do with those things. It's just incredible. And so it needs to be pursued. The other thing, too, and I know we're running short of time, but the other thing, too, is, and I'm sure Sublet County is no different than most counties, regardless of the state, but virtually everything from FFA to 4-H is geared toward the county fair. And so it's important, at least in my mind, and I've been involved with my wife, who's been involved for over 30 years in these programs. So I know a little bit about them. And the amount of time that is spent putting a fair together with the fair board and the folks in charge of putting on that fair is instrumental from a 4-H educator standpoint to be involved in that thing. And so I guess, and I know you're new here to the community, but what percentage of your time would you say you put in channeling the 4-H programs to the fair?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. My background is virtually, my perspective is every kid that's involved in our program, in my opinion, should be going on to the county fair. Now, if you're talking about, so I don't know, there's two parts. One, there's the kids part that we're trying to backfill projects to get to the fair. And then there's the management portion that takes on our end also to help a fair run. I don't know, they're almost two different parts, I guess is what I would say. So there's a lot of things behind the scene that is part of this job, I would say, that has to be done in conjunction with Kaylee and the fair board to make it actually work down there. So, for example, we've been working on the horse one. So to make a horse show happen at the county fair, it takes, you know, Kaylee's part, basically Fair's part, is they provide the facility and they have backup with the premiums and all that part. But when it comes to the actual part, we're going to have to provide the kids and basically, in my opinion, a base of people to run that event. So a lot of what we do is geared around, I mean, that's a large part of this. I don't know what percent, but it's large, I would say. I don't know. Most everything we do is geared towards that, I guess.
So do you feel successful in that endeavor?
Yes and no. I think one thing that we're trying to learn a new fair, obviously. I mean, so far there hasn't been what I feel. I mean, the real lot of work is still a little bit in front of us. So right now we're just the key components that are trying to get there, you know, is trying to help Kaylee identify judges and that part. We've met with the horse thing. I'm feeling we're pretty well there. We've met with the livestock committee a couple weeks ago, and we're going to meet again to make sure that part's, again, those are probably the two big events. I don't know. That's a lot of what we do is there. I don't know. I think we're in, I mean, I've done it a lot, so it isn't like I don't know what's coming, but yeah, there's, I think we could have probably done better in some areas, probably.
Well, I guess my concern is, with the fair being just about a month away, how many things are left undone, how much is left to do, how are we, what's the perception in terms of being able to move forward with help, with helping with that process of putting the fair on?
Oh, I think we're okay as far as that part goes. Again, there's a lot to do between now and the fair, but you know, the fair is going to happen. I think we'll be okay in that regard. I feel pretty comfortable that we're going to have a decent ability to put on the fair.
We have a couple questions, Mr.
Chairman. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Wanted to touch on, do you have your judges and all that lined up for the fair already?
Where are we at, Megan? I think we're...
We just need to... We had two dog judges, but they want to judge the same.
Yes, yeah, so we got one. We
so
got
we do
one,
have to switch one of those.
We got one, that, we one switch judges. That's left.
My second one is on your robotics interpretation. You're pretty much on the spot. There was the person that did teach it stepped down right before you took on, so there's a vacancy there. It was an incredible program. Moving on, the other one I don't know how to bring up generally is comp time, and I want to have that discussion. It needs to be figured out, kind of like the suburban. The county doesn't do comp time.
So you're talking about,
For example, if
Megan or who?
I think Megan's the county employee.
Okay, so all right, so that'd be a good discussion to have.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed with that. Is
keep in mind we got a time constraint.
So I think it would be ideal if you sat down with Kerry and discussed comp
okay.
time, because
we
that's
do that
not
a
something
different.
We do as a county. That's not allowed. So
okay.
It's either overtime or normal work hours.
Okay, well, I'll sit down with Kerry and we'll discuss that. If you'd like.
I appreciate that.
Any other questions or concerns?
Not at this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, one, Mr. Chairman, one thing I did want to bring up, and you may already be aware, but it's typical for every year after the fair for everybody involved to get together and, like, analyze what went good, what didn't go good, what needs changed, and just to let you know that definitely
sure
needs to occur.
That will
because
occur,
it's a way of continuing to improve.
Well, there's going to be, I'm hoping to, I mean, there's, the biggest problem I've had is the unknown. Sometimes there's unknowns that I don't know. That's the only things we've been caught in a little bit. Didn't know, you know, something was supposed to happen, so you're a little bit behind trying to catch it up. But that kind of, I mean, I don't know Megan's perspective in mind, but I mean, so far it just seems like as we've gone through it, the amount that we've been able to get our arms around has been a large thing, and it'll happen all the way through the fair, I'm sure. But I mean, I think what you're worried about is if a good product happening at the fair. You know, which I think that I am pretty confident that we'll be able to have that happen.
Okay. If there's not any other questions or comments, we thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
thank you for your
right.
time.
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Oh, one quick thing for you. As far as communication, how often would be comfortable you guys that we do an update? Quarterly? Monthly, half year, yearly?
For now, twice a year.
Yeah.
But twice a year?
After the fair.
So let's do one after the fair.
Let's do one after the fair.
Right.
Because, you know, we furnish the facility, we furnish the secretary, and half of your position. So the county taxpayers are pretty heavily involved in this. And just as a general statement, the Sublette County 4-H program had been basically viewed as second to none. And we understand that anytime you make a change, things change, and we accept that completely. But at the same time, there's an expectation of the public in this county that we continue to have an exceptional 4-H youth program.
Right. I think that's a legitimate expectation.
Right. Good statement.
Well, and just to input a little bit on that, I mean, it's not just, I mean, you have a lot invested in our office, say, but, you know, where I came from, there's also a lot invested in the fair itself.
There is.
The grounds, whatever you're talking about. And, you know, it's very important, I guess, to have the 4-H component. I mean, I was at the fair a little bit last year, and the fair, in this fair particularly, the 4-H component is very vital, probably, to the success of the fair. So, I mean, it's not just our office. I mean, there's a lot of money the county's invested in the whole thing, you know, beyond our office.
Well, besides the money that Commissioner Bousman is talking about, I think what he's saying is that the culture,
that's
heritage
I agree.
Of the fair and the 4-H program is very,
very
important.
Very, very good, yes. I understand that.
Okay, well, thank you for
coming.
Thank you.
Yep, we've got to get going, speaking of all that.
it's been a while.
You should call once in a while when you show up. I'm in town
and playing a Norway lawn.
Yeah, so you have your own place.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I will.
That's nice.
Yes, he's hung up.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah,
good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Andy.
Okay, moving on next on our agenda, Tracy, you and Matt have some things for us, please.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, morning. And before we start, I think it'd be advisable to recess and then reconvene as the Board of Equalization, because you'll be making decisions that impacts that particular entity. So.
Okay, so motion to recess.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recess as the Board of County Commissioners and reconvene as the County Board of Equalization.
Second.
You got 3 seconds. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. We are now a County Board of Equalization.
Yes.
And then again, I'm sorry. I just wanted to reiterate. I'm not your attorney as the Board of Equalization, but we'll discuss how we're going to address that. But yes, I represent Jeunesse, and then yes, you have the right to retain your own attorney, and we suggest you do that. But I'm kind of stealing Tracy's thunder. So.
No,
well, okay. I've heard that statement twice in the last 24 hours.
Sorry. I'm sorry about the disclaimer.
So I guess the county assessor has received protests from 9 different oil and gas companies. There's 31 protests in here over 38 individual accounts in her office. So all of these need to be heard by the County Board of Equalization, if these people so choose. So our first deal is, do you want to have a hearing officer versus you all sitting as the County Board of Equalization and hearing these cases?
In the past, we've always just heard the cases, haven't we? Or have we yet?
No. It's kind of a case by case basis.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had this many.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And right. In this instance, I would highly recommend that you retain a hearing officer, because not only will that person run the hearing, and act as the attorney for the Board of Equalization, but then they'll be tasked with drafting the findings of fact and conclusions of law, basically the decision that the board comes to. And there's some complex issues, and so I would highly recommend that you retain a hearing officer for the protest.
And if we so choose, how do we go about doing that?
Mr. Chairman, we did do this once in the past. I don't know, were you here then, Matt?
Yes, I think Dale Aronson was...
Did we do it last year, too?
We did it last year. Hired a hearing.
But I
it
know
didn't go through.
It didn't go through the protest.
Oh, it got
hearing.
Canceled.
But yeah. I believe Dale Aronson acted as a hearing officer, I think, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's been several
it's
years
been, it's
ago,
been a long time.
But in this situation, I'm just backing up your recommendation. Yep. It's critical, I think,
I
that we do
that.
Then I concur with that. I think we ought to go with the hearing officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think...
And we do have I haven't been in touch with her because I was waiting until Mary had contacted Gast and Gosar last year for the Stallion hearing. He was not available at that time, but he had came up with the name of a woman that's here, local. She was a state hearing officer, so she's kind of familiar with the whole process.
Is it Deb Bomber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was a licensed attorney. I believe she practiced with the Office of Administrative Hearings for many, many years. So I can't make any recommendations, obviously,
right.
But she would be well qualified.
So what was her name?
Deb Bomber, B-A-U-M-E-R.
Does this person have to be an attorney, or can they be any attorney if so?
You know, the law doesn't specify it, but I think it's generally regarded that you're better off having a licensed attorney.
So it can be any attorney also?
Yep, any attorney. Again, it's not required by statute, but they'll be drafting findings of fact, conclusions of law, be advising the commission on potential options, but you don't technically by statute have to be an attorney to be a hearing officer.
Well, it sounds like this individual, number one, has experience in this area, and number two, is located in the county. So that would be my recommendation.
So who would contact that person?
As county attorney.
I just don't have Kerry contact.
How do we go about finding this person if we go outside of this? And if so, possibly the past county attorney may be a good option.
Sure. The clerk's office has always handled, you know, retaining an attorney. The clerk does serve as the secretary to the board, so that's how it's been handled in the past.
Okay. So we make the decision, give Kerry the direction. Now, do we want to ask both individuals? Would we make an inquiry to that? What do we want to do?
Well, based on the experience that this person has, I never even heard the name before. It seems like that would be our logical first point of contact.
That would be my thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me too.
Okay.
So, do you need a motion to contact this one person and then?
I think just give direction. There will, you know, if that person is eventually appointed as hearing officer, yeah, I think a motion or vote would be appropriate then.
Right. Okay.
Okay. The next question is, there again, we have the rules for the Board of Equalization. It says you can either have a court reporter or you can do electronic recordings for the hearings. I have been advised that a court reporter would be appropriate in these cases. They're quite complex. There's, from my understanding, quite a bit of money involved.
There is. And there's also a good chance, I think, this ends up before the State Board of Equalization, and a transcript is
critical.
It's not required, but yes, it's preferred.
They can do electronics.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. As Commissioner Bousman said, I think it's a no-brainer. If everybody's in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like.
Better than electronic. Okay.
There's also a person, Michelle Cunningham, that lives in Daniel, that apparently does court reporting here locally and otherwise in the state, so I can contact her if that's okay.
That would be good.
Okay.
So with court reporter, and the reason that I'm going to bring this up is because as my venture on the EEQ advisory board, we get the court reporter stuff shows up all the time because that's what they do. With they take the minutes, it all comes. So my suggestion is we also have the little recorder going in conjunction with, because I read through those a lot of time, and sometimes those folks that are really good aren't as really good as they say they are. So I think the backup in this case would be advantageous. That's my call on it.
Not cost anything.
We can have it recorded. I mean, that's not a problem. But we can't have it transcribed.
And I think court reporters often have a recording, just if they miss something on their stenographer.
Well, that could be too.
I believe she would do that.
Okay.
They sure know how to work a typewriter.
Okay, so now it comes down to time and when we're going to do all this. You have to have a 30-day window before the hearing, so all the evidence needs to be exchanged between the county assessor's office and these companies 30 days prior to the hearing. So then they have to have a time period to get their information together. The assessor's office needs time to get their stuff together.
Sometime in January of this next year.
Well, that would work, but however, the rules do state that you have to be done with these hearings, with everything by October 1st. So, that being said,
are these handled one at a time? Or can we lump them in?
That's
yes
something
no.
that your hearing officer, I think, can.
Yes
can,
no.
Because I think for efficiency's sake, you could lump them together, but then, will companies say, we're not receiving our due process by hearing these individually? Possibly. That's one of many numerous legal issues that I think the hearing officer can advise the board on.
So when this process takes place, is that going to, that requires our presence as a County Board of Equalization?
You are correct, Mr. Chair.
I can't get it designated.
No, you're it.
So we're going to have to look at a time that we're all going to be available.
No fishing.
31 times, maybe. Well, October's, huh?
Yeah, typically we've done them in late August, early September. You're not bound to those dates, but that gives the board and the hearing officer plenty of time to have everything drafted and ready to go by that October 1st deadline.
So, Mr. Chairman, a question for Matt. Would it make sense for us to, the next step, get the hearing officer on board and then meet with them and make these determinations as to schedule?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to set a tentative date now, I don't see any harm in that, but obviously it'll depend on the hearing officer's availability and schedule.
That's what I mean.
We have no idea how time consuming these are in terms of trying to schedule this with another meeting.
Yeah, if we can lump some of these claims together, it could go quickly, but if the companies want to hear each claim individually, that obviously will take far more time.
So, Mr. Chairman, I have another question from that. So, these companies that are requesting this, do they also get to request part of the expense, or is that all on our shoulders?
That is paid entirely by the County Board of Equalization, as per the rules.
I suggest tentatively the second meeting in August.
We could go for that and schedule it in the afternoon and try to get the rest of our agenda limited to the morning.
Never mind. I could see it being a full day, so I don't know if you could do it in the afternoon and maybe the next day.
Right.
And I have your regularly scheduled meeting in the morning for that second August meeting.
So you're suggesting that we take the day before, have the entire meeting, if there's any carryover, do it in the afternoon of the regular commission meeting?
I think planning for a day and maybe a day and a half on the safe side is not the worst strategy.
No, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. So, Matt, are you talking about the whole deal for that time frame?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know.
It's just unclear at this point. So, I would set aside a day, at least a day, and maybe even a day and a half. You could either do it before the regular scheduled meeting or after, however you want to.
What about August 19th?
August 19th.
I may not have asked my question properly. To get through the whole thing.
Yes.
A day and a half, or are we talking per each?
No, I hope it's a day and a half total. But again, that is entirely speculation on my part.
It could be less, it could be more.
But God hope it's not more.
So what about August 19th, which is a Monday?
I have no idea what that'll be, but I'll be here. I'll just quit paying.
Jeff?
So why don't we look for August 19th in the afternoon of the 20th if we have to.
Is there a time or if we
do that
one?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. It's written in pen in my computer, so we can't change it.
Well, we'll give notification. So are we good? And you will contact, try to make arrangements for the hearing officer.
So we're still good with an hour?
Hour per?
Per?
Roughly, yeah. I mean, again, it's just, I can't.
Yeah, I know.
It's so hard for me to give you a guess at this point. But yeah, let's just plan for that.
The letter says this date, this time.
Yep.
And that allows enough time for you and?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
But he's all energy company.
2 months away, right?
That's what she said.
So we run the discovery period maybe.
And that's never happened before.
What is the
entirety of July? I'm sorry?
What's the total amount of it?
I forget the dollar amount, but it's.
It's up there.
It's up there. I want to say it's in the millions, yeah. Collectively, all the claims combined.
Sure. Okay.
Well, is that money we've already spent?
What's that?
No, this is this year's assessment.
Okay. I just had to ask that because we've done this before.
No, I'm sorry.
So should I go ahead and notify these companies?
No, I would
get hold of the
dial
hearing
in the hearing officer first and make sure of his or her availability.
Right.
And then they can officially set the hearing date and time.
And check with the court reporter. And
court reporter.
Okay. So at our next meeting, we can officially set the date.
And appoint the hearing officer.
We should be able to have that on the agenda for July and make those appointments. Yep.
So if we wait until July?
Yeah, because it's July 2nd is the first meeting, and then we run the discovery period, you know.
So August 2nd.
Yeah.
That still gives you 30 days.
Or even, you know, a week after July 10th to August 10th, and then there's still 9 days before the hearing. So I think we're good on time.
But then they don't have 30 days. So before the hearing, if the hearing's on the 20th or 19th, so we have to have discovery by July 19th.
Yes. So if we do the appointment July 2nd, I think
and then they're only going to have from the 2nd to the 19th to get their stuff to us and our stuff to them. Is that right?
No. What I envision is, all the appointments are made on July 2nd, and then you run the discovery period, let's say July 10th to August 10th. So there's that 30-day window to exchange information, and then you still have, 9 days before the hearing.
I thought it said we had to have 30 days before the hearing. Am I reading that wrong? I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I thought it was 30-day discovery period. We can figure this out. I know you guys are
all. Yeah. Schedule hearing.
Shall disclose. I see what you're saying.
I'm not the legal person.
Shall disclose. Okay, let us work this out, but we'll plan to, we'll have them make arrangements in the appointments.
But the 19th, we're solid on the 19th.
We don't know that. As solid as.
If we can get a hearing officer,
kind of like Jell-O.
Yeah, yeah. Right now it is. Yeah.
We'll be solid by the 2nd of July.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. We'll sure. Tell that in.
Okay, so we're done with the Board of Equalization?
I think so.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
before we move to the next item of the agenda, I would like to, for those of you who have not met him, would to introduce Travis McNiven.
We need to get out of the Board of Equalization.
Oh, that's correct.
Yes.
I move
we adjourn from the Board of Equalization back to our regular session.
Second.
Commissioners.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Should I call you later?
Yeah.
No, we still have.
I got two more minutes.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
On my stuff.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
So my normal topic is liquor licenses.
Yay. Liquor and catering.
Liquor and catering.
Yeah.
So we have a request, the annual request from the Pinedale Lions Club to sell beer at the Rendezvous Pageant on July 14th.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we permit the Lions Club to sell beer on July 14th.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Did you say one day?
It is for one day.
For Rendezvous Pageant.
It is one day.
Yeah, no, but there's 3 days of it up there.
They don't. The Lions Club only does the barbecue after the pageant.
Oh.
The Sporting Association sells beer for 3 days, and we've already done that.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I thought. Okay,
yeah, we've
okay.
already done
Sorry.
That permit.
It's okay.
Yes.
Next one.
All in, wait a minute. Got it. 4 yeses, all in favor. We're good. Unanimous. Now, with the catering, can we do all these with one motion?
Sure.
Let's take that into consideration. Tell us about the catering from Ms. Tracy.
We have a, well, actually all 4 of these requests are from the Boulder Bar. The first one was June the 8th for Todd Stevie's horse sale at the fairgrounds. The second one is for June the 20th at Big Sandy for a wedding. The third is July 6th for a wedding at the Boulder Community Center. And fourth is July 27th for a wedding at the Boulder Community Center.
Okay, so what I would do is entertain a motion for 4 catering permits for the Boulder Bar for these events as outlined by Tracy.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Great.
Thank you, Tracy.
No, thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would like to introduce Travis McNevin, who worked for years for Senator Barrasso, and he's passing through today. When we have a break, he would like to meet the commissioners and visit with us, and he's just here to say hello. So.
Okay. Travis, we got a couple other behind the agenda items we'll get to, and then we'll have a break before our executive session, and look forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think Stephanie's been patiently waiting, so Stephanie, if you'd like to come forward, we'll talk about the public health nursing contract amendments.
Hi, Steph.
So it essentially just adds this year's money since it's a 2-year contract. So it had last year's money on it, so it adds the grant money for the MCH program, $1,980, and the FEP program, $101,000 for that one.
The what program?
That the emergency preparedness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just amending the contract to include 2 years inclusive.
Right, for the 2020 money.
Mr. Chairman, I see Matt has approved this. Unless somebody wants to look at it, I move we approve.
I'd second that.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Everybody understand basically what Stephanie's put in?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Matt has approved it. It's already been signed by the county attorney and by the assistant attorney general. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The CHO contract should be coming.
Okay.
Soon. That's okay. We're good.
Today is the 18th, isn't it? The Department of Health to sign, and then mm-hmm. Carrie needs to sign that
yep.
our part is done.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay, we will have an executive session shortly, but let's take a break and we'll meet. Is it Wayne? Travis.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll take a short break.
Still with Where did he go?
He's out.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Huh? I'm here for your budget stuff that you're not doing, so I'm leaving. Nice to see you.
You thought we were doing budget.
Well, yeah.
Were we supposed to be and we're not?
Oh, wait.
Good.
I don't know who could talk about it.
Yeah, I can't talk about it. Sorry.
No.
We still need to do the extension budget.
It was.
We can do it next meeting. I mean.
Kat thought since they were on the agenda, that's what we were doing today. I didn't even think about it.
I didn't either.
So, it's something we still need to review.
And what about the county health office also? I mean, those, you know.
They just approved the contract.
I know.
How are you, Travis?
I'm doing well.
But the commission never went through the budget on that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Uh-uh.
My pleasure.
How are you, Chairman?
How are you?
Good to meet you.
Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
The Thousand families, one of my families just go back, and I met them a lot when I worked on Ron Mikelai's campaign for governor.
Yeah.
Back then.
You're the county.
Yep, exactly, and now Jim lives over in the pavilion area. Jim Housman is, Joel was one of the very, he was president of the county commissioners when I first started working for Senator Brasso, and helped the family coming over, and I've got wedding invites. I guess you guys may have got an email from Jeremiah.
Yes, actually we did.
Yeah, and so.
That's down in Utah, isn't it?
I'll get married in Utah.
Yeah.
Yep, the reception's in Lander.
Okay.
And I'll grab the invites for you guys,
yeah.
But since I was driving through, I'd say hi to Joel and meet you guys all in person and stuff.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you did.
I get to work. I left Senator Brasso's office and started just my own government affairs one person shop. And so I'm right now in the joys of learning how to do payroll. Taxes.
Travis Macrohauser.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You were coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Hello.
I just recognize that.
Yeah, sure.
All day long.
Infamous prophet of Brasso. Tell me you know that.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Where did you play somewhere? Or?
No, I had, I played a lot growing up, and I had some McNevins. There's a lot of my family up in the Burlington area.
Oh, okay, sure.
I'm trying to think of the old
and coach. And I do recall this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I came.
Somewhere
I came.
Just got,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a very common
yeah.
name.
No,
you.
No.
And
yeah.
So
well,
playing,
it's
playing
my list, you know. But
your lists are amazing.
All right.
So,
maybe you should start sending those lists out. That's my story. Their person. Ask that.
I'm not going to come back for that.
Pick on me.
I'm not picking on. I'm trying to
do that coach.
What happens in the future?
No kidding.
But it will happen in a while. Yeah.
It will.
So I'll wait for you guys to report to me.
So this is what you do to entertain yourself?
Well,
to entertain.
Let's put it this way. I've got to think of some to take this.
Yeah. I was too.